to the Della Fit Podcast, 360 degrees of holistic fitness and health, all in one podcast.
Salutations and proclamations. It is I, it is you, it is us, it is we. Together, we make up the digital family that is the Della Fit Podcast. I'm your host, Philly's number one son, aka the Body Alchemist, Sun Moon Bay, with another podcast excursion. What's going on, everybody? Hey, listen, you asked for it, we got it. So, anybody that remembers earlier in the week, actually, I think it was approximately last week, I went to the Facebook page and I started asking questions about what are some of the topics that you all, the listeners, would like us to discuss here at the Della Fit Podcast. And what I got was a plethora of individuals asking, hey, listen, son, bring somebody on the show or bring up the topic about how a professional can maintain their fitness while being at work. Exercises, meal prepping, things of that nature that you can do while you're at work. And everybody concurred this, and guess what? You asked for it, we delivered it. We have with us Ben Reuter. Ben Reuter is going to be discussing things that you can do while at work to maintain your health. But not only just that, he's going to be discussing movement more so as a lifestyle than just going to the gym and getting your workout in or getting your training in. And you know what? I apologize for everybody. I said I was not going to use those terms anymore. And I'm going to say getting your play in, which is what you should be doing. Movement as a whole is what we need to be focusing on. So he's going to be here discussing those topics in just a little while. But before we do that, I just want to, again, as always, take the time out to thank all of the listeners, thank the individuals out there who are tuning in to the Della Fit Podcast, who are talking with us and opening up and sharing their story, their fitness journeys with us. And we continue to encourage you to do this. Post pictures, send us emails. You can send us emails at DellaFit13@gmail.com. Or if you just want to go to the website, which is www.delafitpodcast.com, you can go to the contact section and hit us up there. Send us your emails of the things that you're doing fitness-wise. Send us things that you want us to talk about, topics, issues that you might be dealing with that you don't hear anybody else anywhere else. Discussing where it comes to our fitness. Excursions that we're talking about here. Again, Della Fit Podcast, 360 degrees of holistic fitness and health, all in one podcast. As I've said it before, and I will say it again, that is not just a hot topic or hot tagline that we're using. That is the truth. Fitness as a whole is not just what we do in the gym. It is our life. Completely. And when I say it's our life, I don't mean just myself. I mean, it's our lives. It's in order to be happy human beings, to lead a happy life, or I should say a most prosperous life, you need your fitness. You need to be mentally, physically, spiritually, financially, all the things necessary to make it on this plane of manifestation. So, again, fitness is not just a trip to the gym or push-ups or just your diet. Those are all parts of an intricate circle, which we call life. So I hope everybody understands that and understands what it is that we're doing here and what we're discussing here, what we're promoting, you know, because it's much greater. It's a much greater thought, a much broader topic than we have been taught that it is. So with that, we're going to move on to some other topics that I want to talk about, and that would be mindfulness. You know, earlier in the year I said that it seems that 2019 was going to be the year of mindfulness, and I've been blessed to talk with so many different guests for the show that honestly, I'm it's coming true. This is the year of mindfulness. You know, this is the year of progression. 2018 was the year of progression. 2019 is the year of mindfulness and progression. And for those that aren't familiar with what the term mindfulness means, I'm sure you might have heard individuals talk about mindfulness training and mindfulness workshops and things of that nature. Well, let me try to approach this subject and explain it. Mindfulness, in my thoughts, the way I perceive it, is that mindfulness is exactly as it is stated. It's being mindful of how you're functioning. It's being mindful of your thoughts. It's being mindful of your feelings. It's being mindful of what's going on internally. And this is a practice that is normally talked about dealing with meditation. You'll hear individuals say, you know, practice mindfulness, you know, beware of your thoughts, beware of your breathing when dealing with your meditation and how your thoughts flow throughout your mind. And I know I'm not doing the best job, but I'm trying to give a good overview of what mindfulness means, or at least what it means to me. And basically, it's, again, that broad but pin needle perspective of, you know, you take in everything, but you're watching everything. You know, you're like a filter, you know. And I think what it is that we have been taught, more so than anything in this hemisphere, just to do. You know, we're not really taught to think about what it is we're doing. You know, go to school, get a good job, get an apartment, get an education, get money, get on online, focus on these things. Yeah, you're good. You know what I'm saying? Even when we're in the gym, you know, and I do this a lot, you know, at times too. I try to focus, but we put on our headphones, you know, and we just go through our workouts. Or, you know, even when we're on the public transportation, for some of those, you know, that take public transportation in some of the major metropolises, New York, Philadelphia, maybe Chicago, you know, we put on our headphones and we kind of go into this bubble. We go into this thing. It's like we tune out when we should be tuning in to what's really going on inside, what's really going on when we're doing certain things. You know, we should be mindful of what we are doing 100% of the time. And I feel that we have been taught not to be mindful. There's a huge amount of examples that I can use, but I'm gonna stick to the ones that I am basically brought up earlier. And I'm not gonna continue so much on this, because I feel like I'm fumbling around. You all know how much I hate to fumble my words. I am working constantly to get over that. But again, to go back to originally what this, my whole conversation was about, this is the year of mindfulness. This is the year of progression, and the two go hand in hand. You practice one, the other is sure to follow, you know. So I'm feeling quite blessed that I have had the opportunity to talk to so many guests who are practicing that and propagating that, not just for themselves, but for others, you know. And they're not doing it in a negative way of saying, you should be practicing mindfulness, or you should be doing this. No, they're teaching by showing. They are walking the walk and talking the talk. And that's how they're truly showing, in my opinion. That's how you truthfully can teach anybody, you know. Teaching is such a noble profession, but there are so few teachers. you know, and I could go deeper into that, but I won't. Anyway, like I said, we've got a great show for you. Like I said, Mr. Ben Reuter, he's going to be coming up soon. You're going to have the opportunity to listen to him discuss his philosophies about movement as a lifestyle, not just as an activity. We've got some more great things coming up for you. But stay tuned. Remember, you are home with us. Kick your feet up. Grab the biscuits or whatever it is that you like to eat. You're here with the De La Fit Podcast.
De La Fit Podcast, Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific.
Have you ever wanted to start your own podcast? When I was trying to get my podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all the other places people like to listen? How do I make money from my podcast? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors too, so you can get paid to podcasts. I like to upload my episodes directly to the app and then promote. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast, make money doing it. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast.
You're now tuned in to the De La Fit Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the De La Fit Podcast. I have special guests with me, Ben. You know what? I'm already messing it up. Ben Reuter. Ben, I'm so sorry. We just had this conversation. Guys, you all out there, you know how I am with names. I already apologize. But, you know, I spent a couple times trying to practice this in my head. But we have special guests. Ben comes to us, all right. He's got a PhD, a CSCS, ATC, and exercise. He's also an exercise physiologist, all right, teaching at a regional university. And today, he's coming to us, and we're going to discuss movement as a lifestyle, not just as an activity. And Ben, I want to say this. I really like how you have that already in your list of topics, because part of what we do here at the show is we are always talking about fitness is 360 degrees. It's not just what you do in the gym. It touches on so much. And me as also as a physical trainer, I find that a lot of individuals have they take the words working out, exercise, and sometimes it gives them trauma. You know, is it for whatever reason, for something might have taken place in their earlier lives or what have you. There's always something that seems to trigger some type of anxiety when you use the word exercise or working out or any, or even the word gym. So I can appreciate you using the term movement as a lifestyle and not just as activity, because I think first and foremost we all move, so you have to move consistently. So I appreciate you just for how you have that listed. So let's start. Let's tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a lifetime mover. I started out, my plan was to be an athletic trainer at a small college, and through this and that, I ended up getting a PhD in exercise physiology, teaching at a university level. And about 2.5 years ago, as I listened to more and more podcasts, I realized, like, you know, I want to talk to people and I want to spread the message that movement is part of a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And what I try to do is introduce people from different venues, because if you're a personal trainer or physical trainer, you want people to move more. If you're a general practice physician, if you could just get your patients to move more, you want them to do that. If you're a physical therapist dealing with somebody that's injured, exercise or movement is involved in what you want to do to get them better. And very often in the movement field, we're in a knowledge silo where the personal trainers talk to the personal trainers, the physical therapist talks to the physical therapist, the doctors talk to the doctors. And very rarely do you get professions interrelating, talking about what they do professionally, which at the end of the day is to end up with people that are healthier, which is going to enhance their quality of life. It's going to reduce the overall healthcare costs here in the U.S. where we are. And we know that just from a psychological output, people who are more active, who move, generally have a more positive outlook on life. There's something about the endorphins of, I'm not going to say exercise, I'm going to say movement.
Right. Right. So, all right. So let me ask you a question. Let's just go with the basics. Why is it important for people to move regularly?
I'll give that to you in a kind of a two-part story. Part one is when my parents were initially married, there was somebody in their church, an older lady in her late 80s, who fell down and broke her hip. And at that point in time, the practice when an elderly person broke their hip is, well, you know, they're going to die pretty soon, so we're just going to put them in bed because we can't do anything to fix them. And I'm oversimplifying that a little bit, but this lady lived to another 20 plus years with absolutely no dementia, bedridden. At the opposite end of the spectrum, I recall when I was teaching at a university in Florida, I read a couple days after Labor Day about an 81 or 82-year-old man who went out for a bike ride on the Bellis Trail, which is a rail trail in Western Florida. And this was somebody who was very active all his life, happened to be triathlon. But what happened when he was out on this bike ride on Labor Day is he had a massive stroke. He was dead when he hit the ground. I remember telling my college health class that I was teaching, just saying the story and saying, isn't that wonderful? And they're looking at me like I'm a ghoul. But because he was active or moved all of his life, he was able to do what he wanted to do literally up until the day he died. And when he got up that morning, he had no idea that life was going to end. It's terrible for his family members and his friends, but for somebody who wants to enjoy life and wants to have different experiences, being able to do that is essential, and to be able to keep moving throughout your life allows you to have the fitness, which we can talk about in a few minutes as far as what do we mean by a definition of fitness, but allows them to have the body to do what they want to do, if that makes sense.
Understandable. So, first of all, you touched on something that I'm curious about. You said your definition of fitness. So let's discuss that very quickly, because I have my own, and I feel like the general public, they have their own, which normally is a stereotype, which I see. It's typically going into the gym and doing nothing but massive amounts of either cardio or just going into the gym and touching weights. And, you know, in their head, they typically see the bodybuilder type of mentality, and that's what they think is fitness. So let's break that down. You know, discuss with us your definition of it.
Well, I mean, we can all go out and we can read the textbook definition of fitness as far as being musculoskeletal, cardiovascular, and flexibility.
Right.
But quite honestly, we also know that the majority of people, not trying to be negative, don't need that. So I think a great definition of fitness as a starting point for people is having the strength and endurance to do what they want to do without specifically training for it. So we're not talking about somebody being an athletic person. And I think a great example of this is I have a client who has a chronic, I do a little personal training. She has a chronic disease that affects her musculoskeleton. And she's had this for 40 some years. So she is very, very active within what she's able to do.
Okay.
And a couple of years ago, she went on vacation to Australia, New Zealand with her husband and friends. And she's like, yeah, they're going to be going on a hike and I'm going to try to do the hike with them. I'm not sure if I can do that. I said, I think you can. I mean, you've stayed active. I said, why don't you take this pair of hiking poles? I gave her a pair of collapsible hiking poles because when you get tired, you know, this is going to help you rather than having 2 points of balance, you're going to have 4 points of balance.
Right, right.
She ended up doing a 10K hike.
Wow. Wow.
And when she came back, was all excited because they had told her that they had a disabled person, or they had told the hike leader that they had a disabled person and that they might have to carry her. Mm. And she said there was absolutely no time when she would have to be, when she even thought that she would have to stop. She was tired at the end. She was a little sore. But she also sent me, I remember she texted me a couple of pictures on a cliff overlooking the ocean in New Zealand. And it's like, this is somebody who doesn't go to the gym on a regular basis. You know, she doesn't, her idea is not, I'm going to hop on the Stairmaster, I'm going to lift heavy weights.
Right.
But she understands that by moving at a regular basis and coming to see me once a week to do specific exercises within her parameters, it allows her to do the things she wants to do like that. Or a few years before that, she went to out west California. Her husband was playing golf at Pebble Beach. And this is shortly after I started working with her. And she came back all excited because she'd lost the last three holes to the Pebble Beach golf course with her husband. And if you've ever been out west to where Pebble Beach is, it's right on the Pacific Ocean. It's quite hilly. And, you know, even though a golf course is relatively manicured, it's not like walking on your sidewalk. But she was able to have the fitness to say, oh, I'm going to walk the last three holes with my husband. And for her, that was a really big deal. For me, that's right. A really big deal because she has this chronic disease, but she doesn't let it hold her back from doing the things that she wants to do. So I think to kind of put it in a nutshell, what's the definition of fitness? And I've asked people that I've interviewed on my podcast. It's basically, can you do what you want to do physically without specifically training for it? So if you happen to be fortunate enough to have somebody invite you to go to the beach, and you're at the beach, and they say, hey, let's rent stand-up paddleboard.
Okay.
Well, you may never have done stand-up paddleboarding before, but if you have a fairly good sense of balance and you've maintained a realistic level of strength and endurance in your muscles, you may not be very good at it, but it's like, hey, that's a great idea. I want to try that.
Right.
You may be like me, and you may not be very good at it, or you may find, hey, this is an activity that I want to bring in part of my life. But by having the fitness that you can say, yeah, that sounds like a fun idea, I'd like to try it. And I'm just using stand-up paddleboarding as an example. You can fill in whatever your other thing is. It really is going to enhance your quality of life because you're going to be able to interact with other people. And quite honestly, one of the wonderful things about life is the opportunity to try new things and new experiences that maybe you hadn't done before or thought you could the opportunity to do.
I totally understand. I like that. And one thing I think that in your story of this young woman that I think others might not have caught on to is the fact of not only is the physical fitness there, but the mental fitness is there too. I mean, you know, the mindset is definitely key, and coming to you and staying active and doing all these things, not only has it helped her physically, but it's helped her mentally to have that go. So I think that's awesome in the fact of, you know, what you're touching on and what you're doing right there.
I can't agree with you more about the mental aspect. I can tell you another story about somebody I worked with. I worked with somebody a number of years ago who had a bad back. He had a number of hernia discs, and the physician basically said, well, you're not a surgical candidate, which for those of you who have had back problems, that's a good thing. You don't want to have surgery deployed,
right?
Simply because nobody likes to have surgery. But he came to me for strengthening exercises, and I worked with him probably a total of about 5 or 6 years, and he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And this is what you were alluding to as far as the positive mental output. I still remember he went in, he had a kidney stone that had not passed. You know, they did medical tests, found spots of lungs, came back. And I still remember this conversation clear as day, the first time I worked with him after he got the diagnosis. He said, you know, it's going to kill me. He said, I know that. He said, I've got a limited amount of time. He said, I want to stay as active as I can. And I want to do the things that I want that I enjoy doing.
Right.
And this is somebody who was probably more active than many other people. But
okay.
I can still remember before he became too sick, he sent me a picture of him at the top of a ski mountain, the place that's gone every year for 20 years, kind of as a rejuvenation thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the best story about it, because he did work on his strength. He eventually ended up dying. But a couple of days before he died, his wife sent me a video. He was in hospice, and he was using his new grandson's stroller as a walker to walk his new grandson down the hallway.
Right.
And to me, what was wonderful about that is he knew what was going to happen, and rather than saying, well, I'm just going to go into a hole and just, you know, I'm sure he had his moments of depression, sadness, but he lived life, and he left his grandson with something that when his grandson's old enough to remember, he's actually going to have a visual of what Grandpa did and the fact that Grandpa actually cared about him. And
right.
I think that's that mental aspect of somebody is just with him and my other client and with people that do. It's so important for a quality of life and for being able to contribute.
That's very true. I mean, I see so many individuals out there who who don't have physical ailments or issues, all right, and they can do certain exercises, certain movements, and certain things, but that mental aspect is what keeps them from pushing forward. It's to me far more important than actual movement itself. But in my definition, fitness is, as we're talking already, it's not just one thing. It's not just what you do in the weight room. It's not just what you're doing when you're home eating. It's not all the stereotypes that we believe that we've been taught. You know, my thing and my passion is the fact of trying to promote to people that fitness is you as a whole. You know, 100%. It's you as a whole. It's everything. Because just as you stated before, you know, we have to move on this planet. We have to do, you know, get to point A to point B, and we have to interact with one another, you know. So it's so much more. I want to ask you this question, all right? Why don't people move more regularly?
I can give you two answers for that. The first one would be, and this is slightly tongue-in-cheek and slightly serious, is because it's too hard. It's not convenient.
Right.
You know, it's very convenient to sit down, for example, in front of the television set, or if you're concerned about if you're not really concerned about your food, to just say, well, I don't have time to prepare meals that are healthy. We don't even have to talk about the different types of healthy meals.
Right.
Tongue-in-cheek, it's too hard. It's too easy to say, I don't have time. And I think, as you alluded to at the beginning of our talk, the fact that so many people think that the definition of fitness is, well, you have to go to a gym.
Mm-hmm.
And for anybody who has lived in a third world country or who has not had access to a gym, a great example of this is, you know, there's a Facebook group called Conflict Conditioning. And what it is it's all about body weight exercise without equipment.
Right. I've been seeing that movement pick up more and more.
You know, I think the illusion is, well, I think it probably originally started is there were probably some people who had gotten out of prison and said, hey, look, I was able to keep my fitness. I want to share this. But, you know,
right?
How often have you traveled and been in a hotel room and said, well, I'm here for a business meeting. You know, I can't make it to the gym.
Exactly. I know I have.
So I think So I think it's a combination of, first of all, it's too hard, and second of all, people don't understand that, you know, just because you can't do your normal, quote, workout or your normal routine doesn't mean you can't do anything.
Right.
So this is where I come to with the comment, movement is a lifestyle, not an activity. Too many people say, okay, you know, I've programmed in or I've scheduled in my, quote, workout, close quote,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to say, I'm going to make a conscious choice to saying, I'm going to move as much as possible. So, you know, I'm going to the mall to shop for a new sweatshirt. Well, rather than driving around to find the closest parking spot, I'm going to just pick the first open spot. You know, if it's a two-story mall, well, do I have to take the elevator? Not necessarily. I can take the escalator and walk up the steps, or I can take the steps. Great example that I see near me is a Whole Foods where the parking is one level down.
Mm.
It's about 35 steps And inevitably, as far as stairs, if you take stairs, inevitably, when I go up the stairs to go to the Whole Foods, I'm the only person on the stairwell. And when I get up, if people are waiting for the elevator, usually I'm in the store before they get at the elevator. So I think we've given a bad definition of fitness, and we've given a bad definition of what you have to do, you know, for cardiovascular, 20 to 60 minutes, 60 to 85% of your maximum heart rate.
Right.
Yeah, that would be ideal. We'd love to have everybody doing that 5 or 6 days a week, plus doing other things. But if you're, before you can do that, start out and say, okay, I'm just going to make a conscious choice. I'm going to move as much as possible. I'm going to watch TV. Every time a commercial gets up, I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk around.
Right. Right.
So I think the idea of saying I don't have time, or I don't know how, or I'm not doing it, is like, look, just take little steps. And what I often tell people who ask me, well, how do I start exercising or how do I start moving? Pick something that's simple. Pick something that's easy. Just say, you know, I'm going to accumulate 15 minutes of movement 3 days a week. And I think all of us can find 15 minutes.
That's true.
And then if you people say, well, what should I do? And rather than saying, well, you need to do cardiovascular, or you need to do resistance training, or you need to do flexibility training, say, what do you like to do?
Yeah.
Or say, just do something. Because if you're doing nothing, or very little, doing something is better than saying, well, I can't do anything because I just don't have time, or I can't afford to go to a gym, or I don't know what to do.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I tell a lot of my clients, I said, you know, first of all, some of my clients, they're always surprised, because the first thing I always tell them is that we're not working out, we're playing. I said, as a child, did you ever think about, all right, let me go and get in my, you know, like you said, my 15 minutes of running, you know, or my pull-ups and things like that? I said, no, you just went and you just did whatever. You rolled on the floor, you jumped up, you ran around. I said, we have to get back to that mind state of, as you're saying, movement. You know, it seems as though we have, as we get older, we seem to lose the proper mindset of what is good activity. You know, I mean, for me, it was going out to the park, running around, chasing my friends, you know, getting chased, you know, all those things you do as a child. And then a gym is no real different. There's really nothing different about the gym versus the playground, except the rules have changed, which is kind of like my little adverse reaction to the gym. But I'm not going to go into that, because that's a whole long rant right there. So I'm going to ask you this question. How much is enough movement? Because you were talking about it before, all right? You were touched on it towards the end. How much would be enough movement?
For most of us, this is the glib answer. For most of us, more than we're doing. But I think, you know, if you go with what the U.S. government says, which I think is a good starting point, although I think it's too little.
Right.
But if we can get people to do more of it, probably in the neighborhood of 4 to 6 hours a week. And on the one hand, that sounds like a lot. If you sit down and you start tracking the time that you spend playing on your phone while you're waiting,
right,
or other things, you know, accumulate that. A better answer for that, I think, is figure out what's the amount that makes you feel good. So for me, and admittedly, I'm at the right side of the bell curve. I'm probably the abnormal person because I really love to move.
Right.
You know, my best thinking comes when I move. For me, I need to get out in the woods with my dog 40 to 60 minutes, 5 to 6 times a week.
Right.
That's like a non-negotiable for me. If I don't do that, I'm an absolute bear. I was talking to a sleep researcher, and his comment was, I need to accumulate an hour of movement a day. He said, depending on what I'm doing, he said, I might run, I might swim. He said, depending on what my schedule is, I might be taking conference calls and walking.
Right, right. So it's very individualistic.
It's very individualistic, but I think a great place to start is if you can just say, most days of the week, can I accumulate 45 to 60 minutes of some activity? And that includes if you park two blocks from your office and you walk those two blocks from your office, that time counts.
Mm. That's true. That's true. So, so in a sense, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, when you start treating movement as a lifestyle, rather than saying, okay, I'm free from 5:30 to 6:15 today and I can go to the gym and work out,
right.
You start treating it as a lifestyle, you say, okay, I got to go to the grocery store, I got to pick up my dry cleaning, and I've got to do this. Like, well, what can I do to accumulate an extra movement there? Can I maybe park at the grocery store parking lot, and rather than driving the block to the dry cleaner, maybe I walk the block.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, admittedly, we all have very busy lives, and we can say, well, I don't have time to do that. But I tell people what you're doing with movement is you're putting health in the bank for subsequent years. You know, if you decide, I'm not going to move to the next day or so, for whatever reason, I don't have time, I'm sick, I've got other responsibilities, you're not going to lose that much fitness or any fitness.
Right.
But what will happen is so many people, especially now that we're shortly into the new year of 2019, you know, they've got these New Year's resolutions that are probably unrealistic for many of them with movement.
Oh, yeah.
And then they fail. And they fail and they say, well, I said I was going to go to the gym every single day, and I didn't go. So it's all over. Well,
exactly.
just say, I'm going to, you know, I'm a mover.
Mm-hmm.
So people say, hey, let's get together for coffee. Say, instead of getting together for coffee, can we get the coffee to go and walk?
Right, right.
You know, I know there are some hotshot business executives who try to be a little hardcore. They refuse to take meetings unless the person will do the activity that they want to do.
Yes, I've also heard that.
I think a better example of this is I interviewed a physician, Dr. Gary Chimes, for one of my podcasts. He's out in Seattle. And he was introduced to me by a colleague of his. And when I first talked to him to see if he would be on my podcast, his comment was, well, I don't like to talk on the phone. Well, his first question was, can I do it on a weekend? I'm like, sure. And then he said, I don't like to talk on the phone unless I can be moving. Can I take a walk while we're doing the podcast? And I said, sure. And then he said, is it okay if I walk my dog while we're having the interview? And I said, absolutely. So we talked for about an hour and 25 minutes, and he walked his dog, Bucky, and occasionally you heard Bucky bark at other dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a choice that this professional made, and I think we could all agree that physicians are probably some of the busiest professionals.
Right.
And he rather than saying, sure, I'd love to be on your podcast, sitting there for an hour and 25 minutes, he said, sure, I'd love to be on your podcast, but only if I can move.
Right, right.
And I remember when he finished and we were chatting after we stopped recording, his comment was, yeah, this is great. I really enjoyed the conversation. I got to hang out with my dog. And oh, yeah, by the way, I took 14,000 steps.
Wow.
That may be more excessive than some other people's idea of movement, or that may be more than some people are able to do. But, you know, if you were going to sit, and rather than sitting, you walk for half of the time, or you walk for 10 minutes and you accumulated 3,000 steps, whereas you weren't going to accumulate anyway, that's movement. That's burning calories. That's breathing in air. That's working the muscles. And I would argue if anybody could go out and walk for 20 minutes and you had them fill out a happiness or a wellness questionnaire as far as what their current state of mind was, I would argue that most people are going to feel better after moving for 15 to 20 minutes than they did before they started.
I know.
Not exercising, but moving.
I totally agree with you. Ben, here's my next question. So we talked a little bit before we actually start recording, and I told you that I sent out a question to my listeners on Facebook, and I asked them, I said, what is it that you all want us to address, you know, as far as dealing with health questions and things like that? And one of the things that a group said was, and I'm going to say Noel D, fitness tips for working adults, like workouts you can do in your office chair, chair, meal preps for work, stretches, etc. Now, I'm going to also add in the fact that we have a large amount now of Uber drivers, because Uber has, you know, it's made a tremendous amount of impact in the work market. You know, a lot of individuals who can't, who are transitioning from jobs, they do Uber. So I actually had an Uber driver yesterday who was telling me he was consistently active in the gym for 5 years, but, you know, he's in a lull as far as work, some things going on personally, but he just feels like he can't get out to do any workouts. So, Ben, I'd like you to see if you could address this for the listeners out there. What are some tips for working adults, you know, that maybe can't get out of the office as often, or maybe their office is their car? You know, what are some things they can do?
I think the can't get out, we'll take that in two parts. I think the Uber driver is a great example that I never thought about before. Just anybody who's involved in, you know, I'm thinking UPS drivers, I'm thinking taxi cab drivers, if there's any left in the country, or some of the cities, rather. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing for people like that is, I know that, you know, Uber drivers or other people, they show up and oftentimes they end up waiting 30, 40, 50, 60 seconds or a couple of minutes for their passengers. Rather than just sitting there, be the crazy Uber driver who gets out of the car and you know, just walks around the car, or, you know, does a couple of lunges beside the driver's door. Or, you know, if you really don't care what you look like, which, you know, you'd be surprised, and I'll give you an example of this in just a second. You know, maybe do some jumping jacks.
Right.
I think many people, and I think this kind of goes back to one of the questions you asked a few minutes ago, why people don't move more, is they're afraid that everybody's looking at them and judging.
Mm.
And one of the things that I did about a year ago is I decided I wanted to start working on my balance.
Okay.
So I wanted to build a very low balance sheet, and I used PVC pipes sitting on the ground. So what did I do? I went to one of our local big box home stores, and I needed to figure out what size PVC pipe I needed. And so I started pulling out 8-foot length. And I put them back when I was done with them to walk on them to see which was the right one. And I was there with my girlfriend. I remember her saying, "Don't do that. Don't do that. People are going to look at you." And first of all, I didn't really care because I knew what I wanted. Second of all, about 20 seconds after she said that, a man with a cart walked down the aisle as I'm balancing on this 3-inch diameter piece of PVC pipe, trying to walk along it like a balance beam, if you remember back in middle school or grade school.
Oh,
yeah. The guy never even looked at. He had absolutely no thought, no care, did not care what I was doing, was focused on what he was doing. So to take that, I think if somebody is really concerned about their health, just say, okay, I'm here, I'm waiting for my Uber passenger son Moon to show up. I'm going to walk around the car fine, or I'm going to do jumping jacks, or I'm going to put my hands against the hood, and I'm going to do some incline push-ups. Just something that gets me out of that sitting mode. I know I have friends and clients who travel a lot, and I do the same thing when I travel. Rather than waiting at the gate, I walk up and down the concourse.
Mm.
So pick those little, I know some people have termed it micro moments. You know, you've got 3 minutes before your passenger shows up. Walk around. Just do something so you're not just sitting for the entire length of your shift. To transition that to office workers, what I do is I actually I have a standing desk with a wobble board on it, so that's kind of like going to a stream, so I'm constantly moving around. If we were on video, you would think that I had some sort of a nervous twitch because I'd be moving around. I'm actually talking to you on the phone now, and I'm walking around my downstairs just because that seems to be the way that I think that.
Right.
So that would be like the extreme, get a standing desk or adapt to a standing desk. Obviously, that isn't always possible. Think about setting your iPhone or your smartphone to, you know, every 30 or 45 minutes it goes off. So all you have to do is just stand up and, you know, stretch, put your arms above your head. Just be aware of the amount of time that you spend in a position sitting. The physician that I mentioned that I interviewed for a podcast, what he does, he actually posted this on the office Facebook page, is he has a set of dumbbells and a pull-up bar in the set of dumbbells in his office and a pull-up bar in the door of his office. So if he's between patients, he like walks out of one patient and they're still taking patient notes from the next patient, he goes and does like a set of shoulder presses or a set of lunges or pull-ups or something. He just, again, takes advantage of those micro moments to say, I'm going to incorporate some sort of move. If you're an office worker and you work on, realistically, if you live in a big city and you work on the 95th floor and you have to go down to the street level for lunch, it's probably not realistic to walk up and down 95 flights time-wise. If you have 30 minutes for lunch, depending on what you do. But you may have time to walk 5 or 6 floors.
Right.
And you certainly have time at the end of the day to walk down those 95 flights rather than waiting for the elevator with everybody else. So I think the best to answer both of them, the best way to introduce movement is to just take a little time period to do it. Rather than saying, I don't have time to move because I'm an Uber driver, saying, I do have time. I've got 2 minutes or 3 minutes 15 times a day. Well, if you do 3 minutes 10 times a day, there's 30 minutes of movement that you didn't have the day before.
Right. So in a sense, you're saying that is to take the quality and not think quantity.
Yeah, because we realistically know most people aren't getting the quantity. Most people are vastly, for lack of a better term, under moved. They don't move it. And part of it is, as we talked about, is just we've done a poor definition saying, look, if you don't look like Mr. Muscles or Miss Bikini Model, then you shouldn't be in the gym, or you shouldn't work out, or you need to strive for these unrealistic goals for many people. Rather than saying that, saying, look, I just want to change what I'm doing now. I want to move more. And when I move, it may not be as much as society says I should move. It may not be as much as the recommendations are moving, but I'm moving in that direction with a goal.
Definitely.
You know, my goal, I probably exercise more, and I will call it exercise for me. I probably exercise or move more than many, many people. A, partially because I enjoy it, and B, I want to be able to do more things.
Right.
So I want to improve my fitness level. So I think that the take-home message for everybody, especially if they're involved in these sedentary jobs, is look, just pick these micro moments, and rather than saying, damn, I can't get in my normal workout, or geez, I can't make it to the gym, just saying, wow, I had 15 micro moments of 2 minutes apiece today, and I took advantage of 10 of them. You know, that's 20 minutes of movement that otherwise I wouldn't have had because I thought I didn't have time.
Right. Ben, I want to thank you for coming on to the show. How can people contact you? What's your social media? I know we're going to have people that are going to ask questions and want to take advantage of your expertise. Where can people contact you?
Best way to get in contact with me, I actually have 2 podcasts that are kind of closely linked. But if they go to on any of the social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, FitLabPGH, all one word, FitLabPGH. We've got podcasts where we interview people about moving. It's not just me. We do for 3 times a week movement tips and lifestyle hacks. And we also, because we're based in the Pittsburgh area, once a week we feature, we call it FitLab Pittsburgh Features, where we feature people who move in the Pittsburgh area. And I think it ties in really well with what you're doing as far as saying, it's not just going to the gym, because two of our FitLab features so far have been dogs.
Ah.
Because, in fact, this week we featured my 2 Labradors. A couple of weeks ago, we featured Maverick, who is a 4.5-year-old German Shepherd, who his owner does a sport of Shista, which is basically a high-level form of obedience training. And these dogs are movers. And if I can just leave you with one story as far as the importance of movement that I think is will tie in with some of your listeners. I've got a dog who has epilepsy, and she's on all kinds of medication. And if my neurologist for my dog, yes, they have neurologists for dogs.
Right.
You know, when I asked about exercise, she said, whatever she wants to do, let her do it. And I still remember she's had it for about 4 years. This summer, she was into the neurologist for a checkup, and the doctor's listening to her heart. And she goes, wow, she's got a really low heartbeat. And I'm, you know, my initial thought is, oh, shit, something's wrong. Mm. And then she looks at me and she goes, you must exercise with her or move with her a lot. And I was like, well, yeah, because that's what she likes to do. So I think if people check out, in addition to your podcast, to check out FitLab PGH, FitLab PGH, it gives them moving ideas, because the whole idea of this is to just improve our quality of life by having a body that allows us, and a mind that allows us to do the things that we want to do.
Ben, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. We appreciate you and your experience and your skill and just your energy and taking the time out to just answer our questions. Thank you so much.
Oh, I enjoyed it. It was my pleasure.
You're now tuned in to the Daily Fit Podcast.
It's time for another podcast excursion. Join us. We are the Daily Fit Podcast.
I'd like to thank Ben for coming to the show and just giving his expertise, his positive energy, and his knowledge to the topic that we had today, which was movement as a lifestyle, not just as an activity. I hope everybody on the Facebook page was able to get their questions answered, and I hope this opens up another side to thinking about what movement is. And it's not just what you do in the gym. This connects directly to what we always say here on the De La Fit Podcast, which is 360 degrees of holistic fitness and health. It is not just going to the gym. It's not just that special diet. It's not just going to the doctor. It's a lot more than that. It's everything that you do in your life that you use to keep your fitness, to uphold it, to make sure that it is doing what is necessary for you to function on this plane of manifestation. I'd like to send a big shout out to all the listeners. Thank you. Thank you so much for all of your support, for tuning in to the Daily Fit Podcast. We're actually going to call it a day for today. So many things going on, so many more projects, so many more great guests that we want to get to in the for next week, that we're going to end this podcast a little earlier or a little bit different than we normally do. I know I normally might do some type of outro conversation, but I think that we're just going to call it a day for right now. If you ever want to contact us again, you can contact us at DeLaFit13@gmail.com for your questions, comments, topics. Also, you can contact us at www.DeLaFitPodcast.com. We're also on Facebook at DeLaFitPodcast, and we are also on Instagram at Day_La_FitPodcast. So we're all over the net. We're all over this this digital resource and platforms. And contact us. Ask us questions. You know, we love to have topics that we can discuss for all of our benefit, for all of our health, fitness, health reasons. So as always, thank you so much for tuning in. Please always remember what we're about, which is each one teach one and the village. It takes a village to raise a child. We're all somebody's child, and each one should teach one so that we can maintain better fitness and health. As always, be safe, be loving, peace.
You've been listening to the Daily Fit Podcast. Ta-ta for now.